I don't know about you, but I love Christmas. Love the time with family. Love the festivities of the year, but it's not just because of all the tinsel and the toys and the bells and all the bows and gifts. It's because of the birth of the one who came to save us from our sins that we celebrate Christmas, Jesus. But oh, how we can get so caught up in the celebration that the meaning of what Christ did for us on the cross and coming to die as he was born in that manger seems to pass us by, and we just, it's so ho-hum to us today. Let me illustrate it, how it happens, with a little humorous story about a little boy by the name of Jack. Jack, who was at home, sat down at the kitchen table to write a letter to God about the Christmas presents he especially wanted. And he wrote, "I have been good for 6 months now," he began his letter. He paused and thought for a moment, and then he crossed out 6 months and he wrote, "Well, 3 months." Again, he hesitated. He marked out 3 months, and he wrote in 2 weeks. Finally, he put his pencil down, and he walked into the living room. He stood in front of that wooden nativity set on the coffee table, and he picked up the figure of Mary, and then he returned to his letter. "Dear God," he wrote, "if you ever want to see your mother again." We smile at Jack's attempt to manipulate God because we know it was just an empty threat. But that small statue of Mary that Jack had abducted was just a figurine. But we are too prone to likewise reduce the characters in the Christmas story, especially the baby, to just a set of figurines, and we miss what Christmas is all about. It's ho-hum. This morning you have heard it spoken well and sung beautifully, what Christmas is all about. Christmas is all about the birth of Jesus Christ, who came to die for the sins of all people. Don't miss it. Our scripture reading this morning and the time that we have left is found here in the book of Matthew. It's the first book of the New Testament, chapter 1, verses 21 to 23. If you have your Bibles and you'd like to follow along, I'd encourage you to do so. Matthew chapter 1, verses 21 to 23. If you don't have a Bible, there is a Bible there under the seat in front of you. Matthew chapter 1, verses 21 to 23, here's what we read. "And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all of this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated "God with us." Three of the most important words, God with us. What Christmas is all about is about Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, the promised Messiah. You heard it sung about that the prophets foretold. It was of him who would be coming to save the world from their sins. In other words, Christmas is about Jesus, who came to live a perfect life and die for the sins of the world, for your sins and for my sins. The birth of that baby 2,000 years ago should be important to us today, because your response to Jesus is a decision that will affect you forever and ever. The message of Christ at Christmas. And yet, in the culture in which we live, we don't really get to hear much about Jesus at Christmas in the secular world. It's because Jesus and Christmas is heavily and aggressively under attack today. And the reason for this is that we live in a dark and godless culture. And that's why the light came, Jesus, the light of the world. You have employees today that are forbidden to actually use the words Merry Christmas. Yet we still tend to hear the name of Jesus Christ with surprising frequency, and it's tragic in how we hear the name Jesus today. The world has turned the name of our precious Savior into a blasphemous exclamation when something doesn't go their way. I guess it really shouldn't surprise us. Satan can't erase the truth about what Jesus Christ has done, but he will happily settle for turning the Savior's life into some myth and some fable and his name into an expletive. The world has so commercialized Christmas today that they've turned the story of what Jesus did in coming into an elaborate fable. Over the years, singers and storytellers have added sleigh bells and mistletoe and holly to the Christmas scene so much that people almost today don't even know the details of which are biblical. And they believe many of them are fabricated. I mean, we usually imagine the manger scene with some snow and singing angels and many worshipers and a little drummer boy. None of which is found in the biblical account. The world has so secularized the Dickens out of Christmas. Yes, Santas, reindeers, and the like, but what is most concerning is that the spiritual values of Christmas have given way to total commercialism. Christmas has become the ultimate holiday for committed self-seeking, self-gratification, and hedonism. Drunken parties, self-indulgence, out-of-control spending. Someone said Christmas is the most expensive time of the year. And those of you that have credit cards know it can be. Even at Christmas time, gluttony seems to be one of the favorite activities. And so all these activities characterize the way much of the world wants to celebrate Christmas today. The trends aren't hard to document. All you have to do is go to the mall the week of Christmas and find and see what's taking place. And please understand, I am in no way suggesting that our Christian Christmas celebrations be solemn and somber and grim religious observances that are devoid of rejoicing and gladness. On the contrary, Christmas should be a time of real joy. It should be a real time of gladness as opposed to the way that the world wants to characterize Christmas. But imagine with me what it was like on that very first Christmas. Earth was oblivious to what was actually getting ready to happen, but heaven wasn't. Heaven was all ablaze with what was going to take place. The holy angels were waiting in anticipation to break forth in praise and to worship and give adoration at the birth of this newborn child, Jesus, God in the flesh. This child's birth, the greatest gift from God, meant light to a dark world and deliverance for mankind. Light penetrated darkness at creation, and light penetrated our dark minds and hearts at the first Christmas. Truly, joy to the world. The Lord has come. And yet Jesus knew the words that the angel would share with Joseph. His name shall be called Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Jesus knew. He knew the reason he was coming was that he would die. I don't know about you, but I envision a farewell that I think must have taken place in heaven on that first Christmas Eve. I imagine the sun might have said goodbye to the Father and the Father to the Son. In fact, I'm sure it happened. Because the Son's goodbye message is recorded for us in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 5 through 7. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offering and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, 'Behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do your will, O God.'" That passage of Scripture gives us a remarkable look at the heart of our Savior before his birth. He knew he was entering into this world full of darkness and sin, and he would be the ultimate sacrifice to conquer sin and to conquer death. His body had been divinely prepared by God specifically for that purpose. Jesus was going to die for the sins of the world, and he knew it. Jesus, that precious name, comes from the Hebrew name Joshua, which means the Lord or Jehovah saves. Peter, speaking before the Sanhedrin, the ruling body of the Jews, emphasized the importance of that precious name, Jesus. Listen to what he declared. "There is no salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." What a startling statement of truth that is. It destroys the popular notion that there are many ways to God. Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." There is only one way, and it's only through Jesus. No religion, no philosophy, no ceremony, no baptism, no good works can obtain our salvation. Only one name under heaven has been given by which salvation has been offered to the world, and it is Jesus. Jesus, who will come and he will save his people from their sins. Friends, the most important issue of Christmas is not so much that Jesus came, but why he came. There was no salvation in his birth, not even in the sinless way in which he lived his life would have any redemptive value for us. His example on this earth, as flawless as it could be, could not rescue men from their sins. Even his teaching, people said he teaches as one that has great authority. The greatest truth ever revealed to mankind when he was here on the earth could not save us from our sins. There was a price that had to be paid for sin. There had to be a sacrifice. Someone had to die. Only a sinless Savior could do that. And please his Father in heaven to forgive men their sins. Jesus, on that cross, he shed his blood and he died for us and he rose again that we might live eternally one day with him. And we're told Jesus is preparing a place for us and he offers that gift as a free gift to you and to me. "In him was life," as John recorded, "and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend or overpower it." The message of Christmas is for you and for me. The light of the world, he overcame darkness, and it all began on a dark, starry night in the city of Bethlehem. Take another look at the manger that you might have up at the house this year, the scene of Christmas. Look beyond the tender scene and the figurines and see what Jesus himself knew even before he came to this earth, that he would be born to die. He died for you. He paid for your sin himself. He purchased your salvation. Earth's greatest tragedy was heaven's greatest triumph. Even as you hear this message this morning, he's alive, and he is seated next to the Father in heaven. And he waits, and he watches for your response to that eternal gift that he offers. Trust in him. Believe in him. And accept him to be that sacrificial atonement for your sins. For then, this Jesus will save you from your sins. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you for the message and music and the written word today and your word that you have preserved for generations, the wonderful message of salvation that we celebrate at Christmas time. For you sent your Son, Jesus, to be the sacrifice for us. He who knew no sin became sin for us. You're here this morning and you say, Ken, I've never ever realized that Jesus came to specifically die for my sins on that cross. I think the greatest Christmas that you will ever have experienced in your life could be today if you will be honest and you will come before the Lord in the privacy of this moment in your heart to be able to say to God that you call on him to save you from your sins simply in a prayer, something along these lines. Dear God, from your heart to him, I know I have sinned against you. I now know Jesus came, lived a perfect life, but he paid for my sin on that cross. His blood was shed. I invite Jesus to come into my life to save me. If you prayed that prayer, there is rejoicing in heaven that you have accepted that wonderful free gift. We want to help you. If you will see us afterwards, we want to help you grow. Let someone know. And to believers here this morning, may the words of the Apostle Paul come ringing down in our minds and our hearts when he said, what? Don't you know? You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, for they are the Lord's. Father, as believers here today, may we live in such a way, in recognition that you are our Savior and our Lord. Help us to grow in our walk with you. Help us to cast away those sins and those weights that will beset us. Help us to move forward and be strengthened in our walk. Thank you that we do not go it alone. The Spirit of God living within us. And it's not a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a disciplined mind. So, Father, thank you. Thank you for a wonderful time to be able to worship you this morning and to focus on your word. May you be glorified. May we be able to say it was good to be in your house this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.